Something wicked is coming this way, and only fools are ignoring the signs. So it's time you became a financial prepper like thousands of others. Gold can travel anywhere. It's international. It's its own currency. Allocate to gold now, the timeless safe haven asset. Open an IRA with Noble Gold Investments to physically hold coins and bars, and let real, tangible gold, not just paper, save your portfolio as the economy burns again. Right now, Noble Gold Investments offers a free 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin with every qualified IRA. Just use the promo code GOLD to claim your free coin and secure your family's financial future. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com now. NobleGoldInvestments.com.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
RPN is not responsible for the views, actions, statements, or opinions of its guests, advertisers, or even its viewers. The information contained in this program is not to be confused with medical or legal advice. An appearance on this platform is not necessarily an endorsement, but as always, we encourage you to do your own research. Enjoy the show.
Good evening, everyone. And welcome back to another exciting episode of Red Pill News Live. As you can probably hear, my voice is a little hoarse, a little froggy. But there's just so much I needed to make sure we talked about. So if you wouldn't mind, help me out by sharing the show. Put it out there on your favorite social media platforms and get ready, because we're going live. Sell in May and go away? Well, that says it all. David Brady warns the S&P 500 could nosedive to 1,000 points. That would erase 14 years of gains. And CEOs like Jamie Dimon have been warning about 1970s-era stagflation coming back to America. And key indicators like the Q1 GDP numbers at 1.6% or persistent inflation, both of these point to stagflation coming back to our country. And you see, the 1970s was a lost decade for the stock market. But you know what? Gold and silver, they exploded higher. From 1972 to late 1974, gold gained 240%. In silver, it surged 315%. And you know who understands that? China, Russia, India, and South Africa. All of their central banks' precious metals buying sprees have not slowed. You know, those same countries that comprise BRICS, the brand new alternative to the U.S. dollar. Protect your retirement with gold or place a bullish bet on silver and you're going to be okay. Call the proud Americans of the Patriot Gold Group today before it's too late. Just make sure to mention my channel, Red Pill 78, and this show, Red Pill News, and you will always get best-in-class service from Patriots protecting Patriots. Patriot Gold Group has the no-fee-for-life IRA, where your IRA or 401k can be in physical gold and silver, and you just might be eligible for that no-fee-for-life IRA on qualifying rollovers. Just give them a call today at 888 888- 857-6092 to get your free investor guide today. Patriot Gold Group is a Consumer Affairs top-rated gold IRA dealer for 7 years in a row. Once again, call them today at 888-857-6092. Mention me, Zach Payne, and when you support my sponsors, you support this channel.
All right, guys, welcome back. Thank you very much for being here. Addressing what Trisha said over there in the Rumble chat, she says, have you seen the guy impersonating you in the comment section of your shows? He gives a phone number from Florida at times, but mostly your email address, unable to report him. So, yeah, he's definitely not giving my email address out, and that's not my phone number. And I've said this before, but there is never going to be a time where I'm going to approach you in the comments like that. If I need somebody to reach out to me personally, I've already given my real email address out on a number of occasions. And you also know where my website is. So if somebody is reaching out to you through the comments, there is nothing I can do about it. I can only tell you guys to ignore it. It might happen here. It might happen on Telegram. It could happen in, you know, just about anywhere that I have an account. But, you know, unfortunately, Rumble doesn't have the ability to report that sort of thing. So, yeah, definitely ignore it. That is not me. That is not my email address. And I still haven't even seen any of these comments. I don't know. He might have me blocked so that I can't even see what he's doing. He'd still be able to comment on my stuff and talk to you guys. But, yeah, it's definitely not me. All right. So thank you very much, though, Trisha. I appreciate it. Yeah, people, they do it to anybody who's got a following of any size. So Loop to Loop, thank you very much for the cookie. Thick Ray says your voice still sounds a little crocky. Love you anyway, bro. Yes, I say froggy, but yes, the voice is definitely not 100%. This is going to be a shorter show tonight, but there are some important stuff that happened today. And then Redfish, thank you very much, Redfish. I appreciate you. Number one Indiana Dad. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate that. Oh, Tina, you got the magnets and the stickers. Good, good. Glad to hear it. All right, cool. Yes, so if you guys want to, you can send me self-addressed stamped envelopes. And if you want to send a donation of $5, that's what I was directed to do, to send out those Trump magnets. I don't know if I don't have one here. I'll find one tomorrow. Purple MAGA, I think your name was. I don't have your information in front of me, but she had given me a big batch of Trump magnets that she said, you know, sell them on your show and give them out to people through the show if they donate to you. And you send me an envelope. Send me an envelope and I'll send it out. This is more painful than I thought it was going to be. All right. Well, let's discuss some of what's happening in the world. Now, last night on Baseless Conspiracies, John and I were talking about this subject. Unfortunately, this is a subject that just keeps coming up. You know, for a long time, I didn't want to talk about, you know, the trans stuff and the whole LGBT stuff, because I was just hoping that it was going to sort itself out. But the left has turned this into this sort of lightning rod for the country. What's most offensive to me about it, I mean, it's not the fact that trans people exist. I mean, like, I don't care. Like, that has nothing to do with me. But like, where it has something to do with America is what's being done to women. And that's what I find offensive. You know, I think that everybody has the right to be whomever they want. It's America. Okay. I could care less. If this is what makes you happy, that's great. But to force that upon other people and take the hopes and dreams of young women and dash them, that's where I take issue with it. And certainly I take issue with people who are posing as trans, showing up in drag at libraries and elementary schools and then grooming kids. I mean, you know, that's like the biggest part that I have a problem with. But I don't really even consider those people trans. I think that people are, you know, oh, I'm trans. I'm a protected class now. And now I'm going to go after your kids and there's nothing you can do about it. Andre says, hey, Zach, hope all is well. Looking forward to the stream today. You are the best. Thank you very much. I saw somebody mention something about Tripod earlier, guys. He is still not around. It's been very, very dry in the last couple of months. And so I think maybe there's not enough water in my home area. And so perhaps Tripod had to go someplace where there was water. And I just hope he's going to be safe, because he's been gone for so long. I will let you know if he pops back up again. But anyways, somebody last night
on our stream with John, they were like, you know, if you guys keep talking about the trans and gay stuff, then people are going to keep donating and you shouldn't talk about it. Well, you know, of course, if anybody tells me I can't talk about something, I'm going to talk about it even harder, especially when it's applicable to what we're seeing out in the world. I mean, again, God bless you. You're trans, you're gay, doesn't matter to me, has absolutely nothing to do with me. But what, again, gets to me is stuff like this. I mentioned this yesterday, but there was this trans athlete who's a man, biological man, competed against girls and like totally smashed all the female records. And this is what's so outrageous, is because it happens all the time. If you ever need an example of why men and women should not be competing against each other in most sports, it's this right here. Because anytime you put a biological man into a woman's sport, they're going to beat them. There's just no two ways about it. They have an advantage in almost every single way. And it is not fair to the women who otherwise would have been paragons of their sport. You know, what is a woman to do when she comes in second, third, or fourth, doesn't even place because some guy pushed her out? Well, this guy specifically, he would have lost to every single male. He would have been the one coming in last if he was competing against men. But instead, he competed as a woman in this college track meet. He basically set Guinness Book of World Records, and he completely destroyed all of the female athletes. So, you know, I mean, especially in situations like in college. So these girls have been competing their whole lives, and they're probably living their dreams. You know, I mean, I've had friends who played sports and went on to play them in college. And, you know, I mean, that's like the culmination of your dream as a child, to grow up and to be like the top of your field, like the number one in your sport. And it's got to feel awful when they do this their whole lives and then they get there and then their dreams are shattered because suddenly a guy comes in there at the last moment and they beat everybody because they have a physical advantage. So this was in the 200 meter and the 400 meter runs and shattered all the records, of course. I think the person's name is Sadie Schreiner. I don't know what Sadie's original name was. But, you know, I mean, we were talking about Leah Thomas or whatever his name is. I don't know his name because I don't ever say it, but whatever the Thomas, the swimmer guy. I mean, the dude's like 6'5". Maybe he's like closer to 7 feet tall. I don't know. Of course, he's going to beat a bunch of 5'2" women. You know, I mean, he's got an arm length that's half the size of those other women. So I just hope that they get this thing sorted out as soon as possible, because it's simply not fair to the women who have lived their entire lives to become top athletes in their field, and then they have to go up against something like this. So there currently is a lawsuit that's been filed. Riley Gaines was talking about it. There's a number of NCAA female athletes who have filed against the National Collegiate Athletic Association, specifically in regard to their decision to allow transgender athletes to compete and then also to use the women's locker room. But they filed this lawsuit by the Independent Council of Women's Sports, also known as ICONS, on behalf of a dozen female athletes. And it alleges that the NCAA violated Title IX. That's the federal statute that guarantees equal opportunity for men and women in college sports. Now, Title IX, isn't that the one that Biden also is now getting rid of? I know that somebody in the chat also said last night that they think Title IX's bad. I really don't know. I'm not a sports person. I've never really thought about it. I thought about sports more because of this issue in the last couple of months, I guess the last year, than I have my entire life. But what they're seeking to do is prohibit biological men from competing against female athletes. I think this is the best and the only thing that is sane to do. They also want the NCAA to revoke any awards that were given to these transgender athletes who had competed against women in any of these tournaments. So they filed it on behalf of 16 current and former female collegiate athletes, and Riley Gaines is actually part of it. Now, this is probably going to take years. And the really sad fact is that even while this case is in court, you're going to have a bunch of other girls whose lives and dreams are going to be dashed because biological men are allowed to compete. And, you know, there's a certain damage that's done that cannot be undone. All right. You know, and, you know, now the Boy Scouts of America, you know, these guys, they went woke a while ago, and perhaps they needed to, because there was so many scandals about scout leaders like molesting Boy Scouts. But, you know, now they're probably just going to make it part of the package, because it's no longer the Boy Scouts. It's now it's just the Scouts after 114 years. So you've got Boy Scouts marching with pride flags. And I don't even know if this is a pride event or if they're just doing it because they want to be inclusive. But they are now transitioning to a new name, Scouting America. And I don't know if this is going to encompass both the Boy Scouts and the Girl Scouts. But yeah, if we got any young parents out there, people who have young children, I mean, I know that as a father, I would not have wanted my daughter in the same bunkhouse as boys. I mean, like, I was a young boy. I know what young boys are thinking. I know what they're going through. You know, how old was Donald Trump when he made that Access Hollywood tape? I mean, like, he was just, you know, he's saying what guys think. Trisha says, your voice is hurting me. Take Lisa out to dinner and don't talk. Drink some soothing tea. Thank you very much. And then also Bubba V. Bird, your hard work deserves a fair wage. Thank you. Thank you. Thanks to both of you. I really appreciate it. So, you know, this is a woke mind virus. And I fully believe that all of this stuff is going to get sorted out. Somebody on Twitter also had posted a video of this guy talking about how he wished he could live his life over again because he didn't take enough vacations. He didn't stop and smell the roses. And the person was like, this video reminds me of you. And and I get it. I get it. I was just talking about how much I love work yesterday. But I told Lisa that when we bring Trump back, I'm going to take a long vacation and we're going to go someplace. Honey, we need to get our passports in order because President Trump is coming back in just a couple of months. So, again, I think that maybe this effort to go woke is also an effort to protect the Boy Scouts, now the Scouting America, against all of these claims of sexual abuse. I mean, now they can very easily claim protected status as an organization and sort of, you know, beat back any criticisms at all. You know, oh, you feel that you were molested? What, you must be homophobic. You know, why is it that you have a problem with a grown man touching your penis? There's nothing wrong with that. Just look at the books that you're reading in school. That should be totally normal, which is obviously insane. And has anybody ever noticed how many freaking pedophile teachers we got now? I mean, I feel like every single day I open up the news and there's like a new female teacher who's having an affair, which is, i.e., molesting a young boy. This one, I didn't even talk about it yesterday. I couldn't get to it, but a female teacher, she cheated on her husband with a fifth grader? Like, what is going on? The America that I knew and loved simply just doesn't exist anymore. And this is part of that woke mind virus, like the pumping in of filth into the brains and minds of our youth and our parents and our leaders. I mean, people all across this country are twisted, and it's going to take a generation to untwist that Gordian knot. DeFi Phoenix says, thank you for your patriotism. Save America. DJT on Ethereum has already donated over $250,000 to President Trump. Ah, look at that. So very cool. Very, very cool. Appreciate you. All right. So, but, you know, as much as it pains me to see all this stuff, you know, I mean, I talk about this all the time. I mean, the only way that we can counteract this stuff is when we can identify it, when we can actually see it. And believe me, by these people putting themselves on display, I mean, like, they're basically just putting a big target on their backs. Like, you know, hey, makes it a lot easier to know what has to be cleaned up and who needs to, you know, have that laser shown on them. And Maxine Waters, you know, she's one of these people who has significantly contributed to the division and the downfall of this once great country. Mad Maxine Waters, as we call her, she went on the news in the last couple of days, and she gave this ridiculous quote talking about how there are Trump supporters training in camps up in the mountains, and they're just looking for their next target to attack. Considering everything that's going on these college campuses and in big cities, you know, the idea is laughable. It's an assertion that brings me to my knees in a sad and hilarious way. So this was on Monday. So yeah, it was just yesterday. She said that they are Trump supporters training up in the hills somewhere, and they're going to target certain groups if Trump does not win the election or has another election stolen. I don't think she said stolen, but you know, clearly she's trying to create this false narrative of radicalized militia Trump supporters who are going to come out of the Appalachian Hills, I guess, and attack people who they think stole the election from Donald Trump. Hey, I'm not saying what's going to happen one way or the other, but I don't honestly believe that there are militias of Trump supporters who are just waiting for Maxine Waters to dox them so that they can come on down and put all their training to good use. So I guess Laura Loomer confronted her. Actually, here, let me play the clip of her because she's just so ridiculous. Okay.
If you see anybody.
Now, this is old. Oh, yeah. Let's watch this for context. You know, she's talking about us doing violence against her, but she's the one who back in this was in 2018, talking about doing violence against Republicans.
If you see anybody from that cabinet in a restaurant, in a department store, at a gasoline station, you get out and you create a crowd. And you push back on them. And you tell them they're not welcome.
That's right. So she's telling her followers back in 2018 to make the lives of President Trump's cabinet hell. All right. So now here she is. After the Biden regime has been in power for 3 years, spectacularly failed. Well, I'm not going to be honest. They've lived up to my expectations in pretty much every way. And by doing so, they have failed America. It's the best thing that I could have hoped for, to be quite honest with you. All of this stuff is unravelable. But again, in order to fix what needs to be fixed, people have to be able to identify. You got to take your car into the mechanic. They got to run a diagnostic and they got to be able to, hey, it's the O2 sensor. Oh, you need a new catalytic converter. Oh, you know, we're going to have to replace the clutch. Otherwise, you're just saying, hey, my stuff isn't working right. All right. So here is Maxine Waters today. And this woman, I don't know how she's still alive.
This is a man who we better be careful about. And I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask the Justice Department and I'm going to ask the president to tell us what they're going to do to protect this country against violence if he loses. I want to know about all of those right-wing organizations that he's connected with, who are training up in the hills somewhere and targeting, you know, what communities they're going to attack.
She's got to be one of the stupidest people to ever hold elected office. I mean, she is just one step away from Guam capsizing. Am I right? So she clearly is not in connection with reality. We live in two different worlds. And Maxine Waters, I don't know if she really believes it or not, or if she's just going on air and saying things because she's hoping it's going to rile up the troops. You know, I mean, she's got to draw attention away from the radical left-wing terrorism that's happening on college campuses. We've got a ton of stuff about that coming up next. But here, this is Maxine Waters getting loomered in the basement of Congress. I'm kind of surprised that Maxine's walking alone and that Laura was able to get to her. And I don't care if you don't like Laura. This is hilarious to me. So we're going to watch it.
Good morning, Congresswoman.
Hello, how are you?
Pretty good. What evidence do you have that Trump supporters are, quote-unquote, like, hanging out in the hills, getting ready to attack democracy, like what you said on MSNBC?
What'd you say?
You said on MSNBC the other day?
Yeah.
Trump supporters were hanging out in the hills, getting ready to attack our democracy?
Yes.
What evidence of that do you have?
Well, someone called me who said he was a part of it,
and was mad at me because I found out about it.
But, like, can you present some evidence?
Threatened to kill me, and I recorded
it. Someone from a MAGA country saying we're up in the hills is kind of offensive.
So, okay, so I obviously wasn't Laura Loomer, but somebody working for Loomer. That, I guess that makes more sense to me now, knowing that Laura probably would not have been allowed down there. But can you imagine? Can you imagine? Oh, no, no. A Trump supporter called me. Yeah, he said, hey, I'm up here in Virginia. We're in this holler over here, and we're just talking about how we're going to go after Maxine Waters. We're just putting you on notice, Maxine, so that you can call the FBI and come up here and break us up. Oh, she's so ridiculous. Obviously, that never happened. Mad Maxine Waters never got a call from anybody. But I'll tell you what is happening. These radical left-wing protesters all across America are getting more and more violent, as we predicted. Summer of Love 2.0 is in full effect right now. It's barely even May, and the summer is getting hot. I'm starting to think that the only way they're going to quell this is to put the National Guard on the streets, and that's going to look so bad for Joe Biden, and it's going to look great for the National Guard. Well, you know, of course, the radical left, they're going to be upset about it. Now, I want to be very clear. Somebody, the other day when I talked about this, somebody on Twitter, because nobody watches on Twitter, okay? Like, I do the show because it's, you know, it's easy for me to do it in that way. It's there's always another archive. But, you know, I might have like 50 people watching over there, but not many people chatting. And this guy came in at the end of the show. I don't know who he was. And he said, you know, cool subject. I can see why nobody listens to you anymore because you're a Christian Zionist. And I just thought that was so funny because obviously he's never must not have ever watched the show, because just because I'm making fun of left wing protesters who are supporting the idea of Palestine or the Palestinian people or Hamas doesn't make me a Zionist. I am an anti-war individual. I am pro-peace. And, you know, I've said this before on a number of shows, but I am not in favor of people killing each other. I don't care if you're Jew or Muslim or Christian or whatever. I think that there is a better way to go about it. Now, the problem in Israel is the fact that Hamas is running this terror attack, this ongoing terror attack against Israel. Israel is responding. There's no blameless parties here because, I mean, if you go further enough back, the Israeli government created Hamas. I mean, they funded Hamas. They wanted to elevate Hamas because the PLO was gaining too much relevance. The PLO stood as a possible creator of a two-state option. And, you know, the Israeli government didn't want that. They wanted to make sure that there was always a boogeyman. The PLO was secular. They definitely committed some acts of terror in the past. But, I mean, it was not a religious organization. And so, you know, they funded Hamas. It's just like the United States. We funded the Mujahideen, which then became Al-Qaeda and then became our war on terror. This is the problem that I have is with the deep state. All right. And you've got deep state in the Israeli government. You got deep state in the leadership of Hamas. These guys are living in multi-million dollar penthouses. OK, they're not living in downtown Rafah. You got Palestinian plebs living in downtown Rafah, you know, and the average Jew living in Israel, you know, they're walking around just hoping they don't get shot at a bus station. Like, I mean, it's a horrible situation, but it all goes straight back up to the top and the deep state criminal apparatus that runs our various governments. I am against the people of the world being murdered because of the evil machinations of the governments of our country. And right now, another story that came out yesterday in Politico, I thought was hilarious, was Politico realized suddenly that the people who are funding these radical left-wing protests all around the country in favor of Palestine and Hamas are the same people who are the biggest donors of Joe Biden. It's people like George Soros, et cetera. And like, what an ironic twist. You know, the man who we were told, if you criticize George Soros, you're an anti-Semite. You're the worst thing since Adolf Hitler. Now you've got these kids who they had previously courted, these radical left-wing communists that they were like, oh, yeah, we want these people in our group. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, let's go after the right and we'll call them anti-Semites. And then now those same radical left-wing communists are calling the Jews Nazis. And they're going after the same political organizations that elevated them previously. So everybody's head is spinning. They don't know how to possibly even rationalize this stuff. And now for them, when they told us we were conspiracy theorists, you remember when Newt Gingrich couldn't even go on Fox News and say George Soros was funding the Summer of Love? They cut him off. Okay, well, now they're talking about it. Because he's putting them at risk as well. He's destabilizing America. George Soros may be identifying as a Jew, but he's not a Jew. He doesn't even believe in God. He doesn't believe in anything but himself and money. He wants to destabilize America, to destroy this country so that he can bet big on the downfall in the same way that he has in countless nations all around the world. The people who are evil at the top, they may call themselves one thing, but they do not have any faith. They're not going to church on Sunday. They're not going to temple or the mosque. They're not going to anything. They wake up in the morning and they look at their stock portfolios and then they get on the phone, their Zoom calls, organizing with these radical left-wing protesters, and they say, good job, keep going. I don't care if you die in the process. I'll keep sending you money until somebody cracks you over the head or you set a building on fire or maybe you blow up a car or something like that. It doesn't matter to them. Every single one of us is expendable. They don't mind if we die. They're hoping that we die because then they don't have to deal with us. And then at the end of the day, they just want to walk in and scoop up the spoils of war. So they have all of us, people of the world, arguing with each other, fighting with each other, going after each other. Now, I have no problem fighting with communists. I mean, these people are ideologically, like, unmovable, okay? You know, maybe they'll change their mind someday, perhaps after communism has sufficiently destroyed their lives as well. But as of right now, they are eating it up. And the Biden regime, they don't know what to do. The mainstream media, they're having a really difficult time reporting on this. And then at the same time, we got people dying in the Middle East, and the United States is spending money on both sides, making sure that it keeps happening. It's disgusting to me. It's absolutely disgusting. This is the definition of the military-industrial complex. The people who are running our government and who are paying our politicians to run our government are out there spending as much money as possible to get us to send money to far-flung countries all around the world, so that we can continue to help people get blown up. It sucks. I hate it. I don't even like being forced to talk about it because I wish that humanity was free. I want nothing more than the people of this world to be free from their oppressors. And that is those evil deep state freaks who simply want to kill us. Every single last one of us. We've seen it time and time again. I don't think there's any of them that are blameless. So now you've got all of these Hamas protests, these pro-Palestine protests that are taking place. And just because I'm making fun of them doesn't mean I'm on anybody else's side. I'm on the side of the average citizen who is walking to work in the morning and hoping they don't get shot or blown up in a bus attack or getting drone struck from above. Now, these protesters in this particular story were headed towards the Metropolitan Museum of Art. Apparently, they had a celebrity gala. There were people who were on the red carpet. This was some sort of Met gala. I'm not exactly sure what it was. Let me say thank you to Marie Kava. She says, thank you for all you do, RP. Thank you very much, Marie. I appreciate you as well. And also, thank you to Porpoiseful for the cookie. Thank you to Water Wizard, says, only after dark, RP78 will reach. Oh, that's funny. Thank you also to Porpoiseful, who says, hot tea with honey. It does, but I've drank so much hot tea today, bro, I can't even anymore. I got some coffee here. Bois Blanc. Thank you for the cookie. Filter Dog says, I did not get my invite to the training. I know, dude. They skipped me, too. I'm kind of upset. Filter Dog says, they say Zelensky could not be a Nazi because he's a Jew, but call the Jews Nazis. Don't make sense. You know, that's the thing. There is absolutely zero rationale to what is going on right now. And the world is upside down, and they are happy to capitalize on the absolute absurdity of the whole thing. You know, as far as I'm concerned, Zelensky is a Nazi. He might call himself a Jew, but you know, he's got Nazis on the front line. Oh, by the way, Vladimir Putin and the Russians have put out an arrest warrant for Zelensky. I think it's kind of a ceremonial thing right now. But if they do end up taking Kiev and he's still there, he hasn't, like, you know, done a Saigon helicopter trip out of there, then they'll probably get him. Let me say thank you to DB63Me, says, love the new deeper voice. Thank you very much. Mm. Jim Kyle says, America needs to keep out of other countries' business unless we are asked. I'll be frank with you, Jim. I think we just need to stay the hell out of other countries' business. I think that other countries get a little too big in the britches, you might say. Their balls get a little bit too big when they think that the United States is going to be there to back them up because they've asked us. And, you know, all too often, the generals and the lobbyists and the Raytheons and the Boeings and such of this world, you know, they're all too happy to help out. You know, I mean, like I said, they don't mind if people die. People die, that means more bombs went off, and they're going to have to make more bombs to sell more bombs. And so they just, it's a self-perpetuating cycle. It's just on and on and on. It's disgusting. So Maxine Waters says, we're going to come out of the hills and we're going to attack them. Well, it's actually the other way around right now. You've got these protesters who are breaking through barricades and they're coming for the blood of the celebrities who are on the red carpet at the Met Gala. Now, I don't know how many, but, like, let's just assume you've got all these bleeding heart DEI dyed in the wool liberal celebrities. They're all standing there on the red carpet. They've got their Palestine flags on. They're wearing, like, you know, BDE, boycott, divest, and I can't remember the last word, but the whole boycott thing. You're wearing those. Maybe they got a Me Too pin. They probably got a Ukraine pin on there. You know, it's just like all the things. Give me all of the things. And these guys and gals are walking towards the Met Gala, just chanting for blood, you know, from the river to the sea. And here we go. So, this is gross. Let's get past that. Here's another one. This is where things get bad. Doesn't that look familiar? I mean, you know what that reminds me of? I mean, obviously, the Summer of Love. But those same people who on January 6th broke through the barricades and attacked the cops. I mean, I think it's obvious that these people and those people are the same people. Those same agent provocateurs were present in Washington, D.C. on January 6th with the intention of trying to set up Trump supporters. Now they've got the intention of trying to force the hand of, you know, the government and, you know, anybody who will capitulate. Because after so many years of getting exactly what they want, forcing powerful people to kneel to them, they think that they can just do whatever. And let's be frank here, you know, Islam does not exist in harmony with other cultures. I mean, it is a warrior conquering culture. That's what they do. I mean, that's what they've always done. You know, I mean, not all Muslims are like that. You know, I mean, there are secular Muslims who just, you know, they might call themselves Muslim, but they're not calling for jihad. You know, just, I mean, like, you've got all of these different shades of this or that. Nobody is exactly the same, but you definitely are always going to have that, like, radical group who is calling for the complete extermination of somebody else. Those are the people that I think should just be exterminated across the board. If you're calling for the extermination of anybody else, You can't survive in peace. You can't live and let live. You can't, you know, get on board with the idea of American liberty and freedom of everything that we are afforded because you're here in the United States, then you need to get the hell out. Okay. And I don't care if you were born here. I don't care if, you know, you have some claim to anything. If you can't adhere to what America is supposed to be, I don't think you deserve to be here. And I think they need to kick your ass out and you can go make your own way someplace else. There is plenty of plots of land out in the Sahara Desert. And I think they would be more than happy to have you there. Get back over into the lands of sand and set yourself up a Bedouin tent and raise camels. And, you know, you can beat your wife. You can do whatever else you want to do. But, you know, you can't do that stuff here in America. And if you want to start a jihad over there, go for it. All right. But you're not going to conquer my land. You're not going to take over my country. And that's what these people think they're trying to do. Lisa showed me this crazy video. I guess kids are now converting to Islam in solidarity with Palestine. And man, they're going to have a rude awakening for themselves if some of these, you know, these DEI LGBTQ types end up making their way to Iran or to any other predominantly Muslim country and then find themselves flying off a building. But here we go. Long live the Intifada. Long live the Intifada. Ah, all hell breaks loose. Run. What are we running for? I don't know. I don't even know why we're here. Somebody said come downtown. Where's RoboCop when you need him? You are an unlawful assembly. OCP has deemed that this is an unlawful assembly. Put your hands up, scum.
Palestine is not your land!
Palestine is not your land!
Palestine is your land!
So my ultimate point here is just to show you guys how this is really escalating really quickly, and it's going to keep escalating. Here they are. I believe they're going to light an American flag on LKW. Thank you very much for that. Appreciate you over there on Ko-Fi. I mean, this is not like the official American flag, but it's a flag with American symbols on it. And what are you got a rabbi here with these kids burning a flag? What is going on? Is he trying to put it out? I don't even know what's going on. Like, this is so crazy. Here's Kim Kardashian on the red carpet as the Muslim invaders are coming to Intifada for her neck.
Wow! What?
In the middle.
Oh my gosh! You can do it, Amelia! You can do it!
Back up.
I hope you have a skirt to change into. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I can't think of a better way to encapsulate the two different worlds that we live in. Like, you know, I've mentioned this before, but if you guys have ever seen The Hunger Games, I mean, this is like, you know, we're like everybody living outside the Capitol. And those people like Kim Kardashian, they exist in the Capitol in their ivory towers. And they watch us kill each other for their own sport and their own enjoyment. And all these people, they are blissfully untouched by the actions of these communists. And it's only a matter of time before their lives become disrupted as well. Here we are in Portland. This is just last week. Apparently, these radical left terrorists ended up setting a whole parking lot full of police cars, 15 police cars. They're calling it a preemptive attack, and they even have a name for their group. They're called Rachel Corrie's Ghost Brigade. Let's go ahead and take a look at this report coming out of Portland.
Someone set 15 Portland police vehicles on fire at the police training complex in Northeast Portland. This is just a few miles from the airport, and that's where KGW's China Green is live this morning. So, China, what can you tell us so far about this story?
I can tell you that police say that this was arson. More than a dozen training vehicles were damaged or either completely destroyed in this fire. Now, when we got here this morning, just a few hours after it happened, we were told that we had to be across the street. So here is what it looks like now. This is PPB's training division where it happened, near 148th Avenue and Northeast Airport Way. This is just a few miles away from the airport near the Costco. As the sun comes up, it's quiet here now, just some yellow tape and a handful of officers, and we're not seeing.
So, Brett Auer says her hips are so wide. It always blows my mind that people think that's attractive. I don't know that her hips are that wide. I think that it was just that her waist had been so artificially squeezed down. I mean, that was like a 6-inch waist. She was wearing like a corset from like, you know, back in the Wild West or something like that. I mean, that was some like 1800s type of, women's fashion. I don't think that's attractive. I mean, you know, I think that if like a normally naturally proportioned woman, of course, I'm a fan, definitely. But to see that sort of like binding, I feel like that's just, that's uncomfortable. And there's no way she's eating anything. There's no way. She probably got cleaned out before she had to put that corset on.
Or smelling any remnants of smoke. But take a look at this video that we got of what happened here earlier. You can see flames and smoke erupting behind the fence. Multiple cars seen here on fire. And here is what we know from police. Just before 2 a.m., Portland Police North Precinct was dispatched to assist Portland Fire and Rescue at the Portland Police Training Division. When they got here, they say they found at least 15 vehicles in a fenced training area burning. A major area of concern here was a police vehicle that was torched behind a large propane tank. Now, firefighters extinguished the fires. The building wasn't damaged. No injuries were reported. Now, back out here live, the main questions right now is who is...
But it's the Trump supporters living up in the hills of Appalachia that are coming to get them. Yeah, right. Here is their official Tumblr blog post. From Rose City Counter Info. Anytime you see this Rose in connection with any sort of communist action, you know that this is a radical left-wing terrorist. On May Day, we torched, May Day, that's right, that's remember the 5th of November. We torched some PPB cars at their training facility. We cut through the fence, we set 10 fires, and happy it grew to burn 15 cars. We did it for the Haymake It Martyrs. Don't know who they are, but if they're dead, they probably deserved it. We did it for all the black and indigenous rebels murdered by slavers and settlers. Bet you every single one of these kids is white, upper middle class. We did it for all the brutalized student protesters. Those kids have gotten off easy. I'm just going to go on record and say that. Above all, we did it for the Palestinian martyrs. Well, why don't you head on over to Palestine? They could probably use the help. And we want to remind the world that the official count is stuck at 35,000 martyrs because the Israelis bombed every hospital to stop accurate reporting of the dead. Well, you know, I mean, Hamas was using those hospitals as staging grounds for attacks. I mean, this is just, you know, it's constant, like info, disinfo, counter info, just over and over again. You know, I mean, like, what do you expect? It's a war. I mean, people are dying. Why don't we just, you know, get it over with and stop killing each other? Our attack was preemptive, and it's all due basically to the student protest. They think the students are not getting their fair shake. They are pro-Marxist. They are pro-Hamas. Look at this. apparently, they did get some of them. City officials are releasing them from jail, however. And a bunch of nothing's going to happen to them. Who was Rachel Corrie? She was a pro-Hamas protester who was killed by an Israeli bulldozer in Rafah, Gaza back in 2003. I remember that. She stood in the way of a bulldozer and they drove over her. Yeah, they drove over her. She was from Olympia, Washington. They were going to tear down a building at a refugee camp, and they just ran her over. So, you know, obviously, it sucks. That sucks. But this is the way it is. Well, you know, as this is escalating, people in charge are starting to get to the point where they cannot allow it to continue. Because when we look at George Washington University, the protesters there are now openly calling for the beheading of the school president and members of the board of trustees. I mean, this is some classic intifada type behavior right here. Beheading and publicly displaying the bodies of your enemies. I mean, hey, you know, maybe a good rape in the town square, a stoning or something like that. That's something I expect to see. So this situation, these people have been placated. They've been allowed to essentially take over. Look, you got the scarf, you got the Palestinian flag on George Washington. I'm surprised they haven't brought an angle grinder out and cut his off yet. But take a look at this video. You can hear the kids yelling guillotine in the video.
The people find you
guilty.
The Board of Trustees, on the charges of having a vested interest in the genocide of Palestinian people as they profit off of Zionist weapons and purchases that refuse to divest from apartheid as they line their pockets, the people find you
guilty.
So the thing that's really disturbing about this is that this is like one of those stated practices that communist revolutionaries always mention that they're going to partake in. You know, in order to seize power, they have to kill, they have to execute, they have to publicly try those people who they find guilty, regardless of whether or not they actually are. And so if these students are allowed to continue with the behavior that they've been exhibiting, and let's say that they decide to take over more than an empty building next time, well, then you just might actually see the Board of Trustees and everybody else mostly peaceful beheadings. Oh, that's pretty rich. That's perfect. That's absolutely perfect. Okay. Mostly peaceful beheadings. Oh, man. All right. So that's enough about the radical left-wing takeover of college campuses all across America. If your kids are in college, get them the hell out. You know, get them into a trade school or something. They don't need this. Here's a story that I saw on Zero Hedge. It's actually from Epoch Times, but apparently, a brand new peer-reviewed study has just been published in the Frontiers in Psychology Journal, came out about a month ago. And what they did was examine new cases, new onset cases of psychosis among people who took the jab. So what is psychosis? In case you don't know, it refers to symptoms that occur when an individual has difficulty differentiating between reality and fantasy. That means they're having hallucinations and delusions. Quite often they may think that, you know, certain people are out to get them, or they may see and hear people saying things to them that are not there in reality. What the review did was look at 21 articles describing 24 cases of psychosis symptoms, all of them following vaccination by the COVID-19 clot shot. And the researchers concluded that data suggest a potential link between young age, mRNA, and viral vector vaccines with new onset psychosis within 7 days post-vaccination. So collecting data on vaccine-related psychiatric effects is crucial for prevention. Well, of course it is. And an algorithm for monitoring and treating mental health reactions post-vaccination is necessary for comprehensive management. Well, if you're not paying attention to it, then it's not going to get fixed. That's for sure. And now, out of the 24 cases, 13 were female, and the median age of participants was 36 years old. 22 patients, that's 91.2%, had no specific history of somatic illness and comorbidities. That means they were perfectly healthy. They had no mental issues before they got the jab. In 33.3% of these cases, administration of the Pfizer mRNA jab had potentially induced adverse psychiatric events. The viral vector AstraZeneca vaccine was linked to psychotic symptoms in 25% of cases. And in 45.8% of cases, psychotic symptoms were reported after the first shot, and in 50% after the second shot. So might happen the first time, might happen after the second time. But if you take the jab, there's a chance that you might go crazy and you might end up locked up in a rubber room. Almost all reviewed cases, 95.8%, presented with psychotic symptoms such as hallucinations, that's visual, auditory, olfactory, and tactile, and delusions, mostly precursory, and delusions of reference. The most common form of hallucination was auditory. They would hear it. That was experienced by 54.2% of the cases. And visual hallucinations were experienced by 12.5% of patients. You had motor disturbances, such as increased or decreased motor activity and bizarre behavior, were mentioned in 83.3% of cases. In 12.5% of the cases, a suicide attempt was described. Now, the symptoms of psychosis lasted for a period of 1 to 2 months. I suppose that's the silver lining to this study. I guess people do not stay crazy forever, but in a 1 to 2 month period where you're experiencing severe psychosis, there's a lot of damage that can be done to your personal and professional life. So the patients were treated using various methods, including antipsychotic drugs, also steroids, but only 12 out of the 24 made a full recovery. Interesting to me is the steroids, because steroids are meant to treat inflammation. And when you take these jabs, you are creating an environment in your body of inflammation so that you have that immune response, allegedly. But, you know, what it's really doing is creating the spike protein factory, oftentimes directly in your glial cells in your brains, all of the cells in your body. They just get taken over, hijacked. And then you are this inflam factory. You take the steroids, and then that inflammation slows down. Honey? Sorry, honey. Yeah. All right. You know what? We got to take a break for the second half of the show. Give me just one moment. I'll be right back. Sell in May and go away? Well, that says it all. David Brady warns the S&P 500 could nosedive to 1,000 points. And CEOs like Jamie Dimon have been warning about 1970s-era stagflation and key indicators like the Q1 GDP numbers at 1.6% or persistent inflation point to stagflation coming back to our country. And you see, the 1970s was a lost decade for the stock market. But you know what? Gold and silver, they exploded higher. And you know who understands that? China, Russia, India, and South Africa. All of their central banks' precious metals buying sprees have not slowed. Protect your retirement with gold or place a bullish bet on silver and you're going to be okay. Call the proud Americans of the Patriot Gold Group today before it's too late. Just make sure to mention my channel, Red Pill 78, and this show, Red Pill News, and you will always get best-in-class service from Patriots protecting Patriots. Patriot Gold Group has the no-fee-for-life IRA, where your IRA or 401k can be in physical gold and silver. Just give them a call today at 888-857-6092 to get your free investor guide today. Patriot Gold Group is a consumer affairs top-rated gold IRA dealer for 7 years in a row. Once again, call them today at 888-857-6092. Mention me, Zach Payne, and when you support my sponsors, you support this channel. Okay, we're back and we're in the home stretch here. First of all, We got to get into the updates on President Trump's various cases because there have been some major movements. Fannie Willis, her troubles have not gone away. That Georgia Senate investigation into her behavior and Nathan Wade's behavior is still ongoing. The only problem is Fannie Willis is now telling reporters that she's not going to participate in this hearing. She actually claimed that the Georgia Senate does not have the power to subpoena her and that they need to learn the law. Well, the fact is that this is a law, and the Georgia Senate has that specific oversight ability. It's Fannie Willis who doesn't know the law. Speaking of morons who are serving in elected office. So the chair of that committee threatens to hold her in contempt, and I certainly hope he does, because I would love for Fannie Willis to...
See, as you can see, the more you f*** around, the more you're going to find out.
So that she will understand what the law is and exactly why she needs to participate. Now, in terms of Alvin Bragg's case, we have just learned that former DOJ official Matthew Colangelo, who took a demotion to run the prosecution in Alvin Bragg's New York courtroom, was actually paid by the DNC for political consulting. Now, political consulting is kind of a nebulous term. Basically, it just means that Matthew Colangelo's payoff came through the DNC, and likely that $12,000 that he received back in 2018 was in the lead up to set him up in a position so that they could use him to try to take down Trump once it would become necessary. He was given two different payments of $6,000 apiece. And the Democratic National Committee has not gone into any detail about what Colangelo actually consulted on. But likely they came to him and said, give us a possible scenario where we could use lawfare, the DOJ or local jurisdiction, to try to take down Donald Trump. And then after Matthew Colangelo allegedly gave them this information, he went ahead and continued on with his job. And then they said, hey, Colangelo, we'd like you to leave the DOJ, head on up to New York, and then you can just run that whole psychological operation from up there, and then we'll go ahead and pay you a bunch more money under the table in a couple of other ways, allegedly. And now also, looks like Republicans in Congress are going to be holding Merrick Garland in contempt for refusing to hand over the audio tapes of Joe Biden's interview with former special counsel Robert Hur. The House Judiciary Committee is aiming to hold Merrick Garland in contempt for refusing to pass these tapes along. They want this investigated, and they want to be able to actually hear what's on those tapes, because as we've seen, the White House has a penchant for editing Joe Biden's written word, especially because he seems to have a very difficult time speaking in public and live on the record. So it would be pretty interesting to see what Joe Biden actually said when he was being questioned by special counsel Robert Hur. So keep your eyes on that as well. Andrew Weissman, who was Robert Mueller's pit bull in the Mueller investigation, also seems to have a tenuous grasp on exactly what the law is and how it's supposed to be practiced, because he went on the record stating that he believes that Trump must be the one to prove his innocence. Well, I'm not a lawyer, Andrew Weissman, but I can tell you that that's not how it works here in America. In America, you are innocent until proven guilty, and it's the state that must prove your guilt. Now, I think that that is not going to happen, especially after we talk about Stormy Daniels and what she did today, sucking from the stand, sucking at her job of testifying, if I want to get a little bit more specific. However, in the case of this case, there is no crime. There is no, you know, underlying motive for Donald Trump to have committed an alleged crime. Donald Trump is not his own accountant. Donald Trump had no knowledge of these payments going out. This is a big smoke and mirrors show. And Andrew Weissman believing that Donald Trump needs to prove his innocence, it just proves that he should never be anywhere near a courtroom. Now, President Trump, speaking out before he walked into court today, said once again that he would gladly sacrifice himself and go to jail because what he's doing is protecting the rights of Americans and protecting the sanctity of the Constitution. He was speaking to reporters and he said, because this judge is giving me a gag order and said you'll go to jail if you violate it. And frankly, you know, our Constitution is more important than jail. It's not even close. I'll do that sacrifice any day. But what's happening here is a disgrace and the appellate courts are out to get involved, and they will. As I've said on so many occasions, whatever happens in this courtroom, it will never stick. President Trump is not going to be held to this unrealistic and unfair and unconstitutional standard that is being set for him. Now, the only thing is, President Trump, as I've also said many times, understands the power inherent, the meme ability of him being sent to jail. None of us want him to go to jail, but I want him to destroy the deep state. And if the deep state has the hubris to put him in jail, they will be signing their own death warrants in a metaphorical sense. CNN, speaking with a legal analyst, is also echoing this same sentiment, saying that it would be a political gift to put President Trump in jail. Let's listen. We got to get past this commercial real quick. And one more girl with the butt.
Research. Joining me now, CNN legal analyst and former U.S. attorney Michael Moore. All right, I want to get to just quickly talk about the gag order. Donald Trump, for a second time, warned by the judge that the next time he violates the gag order, the judge will have no choice but to jail him. Now, he hasn't violated the order, we should be clear, since the initial warning. Trump, though, sort of intimated that he'd be willing to violate it. I just want to let you listen to what he said at court yesterday.
This judge has given me a gag order and said you'll go to jail if you violate it. And frankly, you know what? Our Constitution is much more important than jail.
Yes,
it's not even close. I'll do that sacrifice any day.
When you hear him say that, if he does violate the gag order again, how would the process work to jail a former president?
Well, I'm glad to be with you. I mean, we're clearly in uncharted waters here. I mean, we've never had the issue of having to think about putting a former president behind bars. And so I really think that's what Judge Bershon is wrestling with as he goes through. And that is, you know, how do I get Trump's attention? How do I maintain the integrity and the respect of the court? How do I protect this process? How do I protect the trial?
Right, well, let me just go on record and saying all of it's shit. None of it is protected. It's all been proven to be completely arbitrary and an unequal application of justice. This justice is a loose interpretation of what's happening there. Judge Marchand, I think what he's struggling with is the knowledge that he cannot put President Trump in jail because America will respond. It will be a political gift to President Trump. He will take it and he will use it in his campaign, and he will use it as a tool to bring Americans together. Because what are we all fighting against? The exact same corrupt establishment that is trying to destroy President Trump right now, trying to destroy him by putting this former porn star on the stand to testify about different sexual positions that she allegedly engaged in with him. Now, apparently, her performance was not good. She took the stand, and there was a whole running tally. I had this whole thing of Stormy Daniels, like her entire testimony, but there's no way I can go through all of it. But let me go ahead and pull this up. Now, allegedly, when she took the stand, it was reported that Judge Marchand agrees that Bragg and Biden's attorneys, saying that Stormy Daniels has credibility, this former porn star, former NXIVM associate, has credibility to testify about an alleged affair, even though she's repeatedly denied any such affair existed over the years. And the letters have come out stating that she never had an affair with President Trump. She also allegedly took money to keep saying that she never had an affair with President Trump. You've got this one picture of Stephanie Clifford, Stormy Daniels, with President Trump. It's like a totally normal photo. I can't even find this photo. I tried looking for pictures of Stormy Daniels before the show, and I can't find anything where she's not, you know, whatting. Every single photo, it's just Stormy Daniels naked. So President Trump and this hush money trial, it has absolutely no credibility at all. Stormy Daniels has already said time and time again, she never did this. She never had the affair. Michael Cohen, he's a proven liar. He's their star witness. These payments that were made, they didn't come from his campaign account. It had nothing to do with the FEC. Michael Cohen was his lawyer. So money payments that were going to Michael Cohen, I mean, they could have been for anything. Who knows? But again, President Trump did not have anything to do with this stuff. So let's take a look at this report. I guess Stormy Daniels was trying to make jokes from the stand, and nobody thought it was funny, not even the jury or the prosecution. You got to go, oh, no. And it's not working. Let me go to Johnny Maga's Twitter directly. Johnny Maga. Okay, here we are. Don't worry, we got Judge Eileen Cannon coming up next. Oh, maybe they deleted it. No, here it is.
Been sort of noticing as this has gone on is that there have been a couple times where she seems to be cracking a joke, trying to get a reaction from the jury, and our reporters in the room have noted that the jury hasn't seemed to respond.
No, they're
to
taking
that.
Their job seriously.
I mean, what do you make of that?
Humor is risky in the courtroom, especially if you go in with lines like it looks like Stormy. If something happens spontaneously, if an easel falls over, people will laugh. They're human, but it's never going to work. If you go in there like, I'm going to amuse the jury, I'm going to sort of say this clever thing.
Jurors, Casey?
So, Stormy Daniels, I mean, Stephanie, you did one thing and you did it rather well, okay? You were successful as a porn star, but you were never a comedian. And it's not going to work. It's not going to work, Stephanie. And of course, now, none of my articles are working. Okay, so I need to do something different, guys. I have to talk about these last stories because this is the crux of the show here. This is it. This is it. This is a sign. Yeah, it's a sign, all right. Going out of business for the deep state. Okay. Let me just get these pulled up in a new window and we'll finish up the show. I don't know why this is happening, but the longer I talk, the easier it gets to talk. I'll just say that. I know Lisa wants me to save my voice, and I truly do need to. But this is a very, very important development in the case to try to destroy Donald Trump, and one of the many cases to try to destroy Donald Trump. All right, almost there. Okay, and there we go. All right, I guess I don't need to do that last one. And, okay, so let's go to right here, and we'll change it to this window right here. All right, here we go. So, obviously, the last several days, the big story, as far as I'm concerned, has been the revelation that Special Counsel Jack Smith, the FBI, and the Department of Justice altered, abolished, or mismanaged the evidence in the classified documents case. Now, as a result of that, admitting to the judge that the DOJ lied about the condition of this evidence, admitting that the chain of custody has been broken, Judge Eileen Cannon earlier today postponed a deadline that was coming up in the case against President Trump. This was actually late last night. She postponed this deadline, and that is a stay on a May 9th deadline for President Trump and his co-defendants, Walt Nauta and Carlos de Oliveira, related to this case. So President Trump's attorneys wrote a letter to Jack Smith about his confession that classified documents are not in their original form.
They said your failure to disclose the spoliation of this evidence until this month is an extraordinary breach of your constitutional and ethical obligations. Since the beginning of this case, our strategy, preparations, and arguments have been based on the basic premise that, biased as Jack Smith is in his futile efforts to help President Biden make up lost ground in the polls, the line prosecutors and agents would employ the minimal levels of professionalism and competence necessary to preserve evidence relating to the documents at the center of the charges. Well, with the revelation on Friday that Jack Smith and his people did not do that, it put Eileen Cannon in a position where she had to make a call. And I've said that I think Eileen Cannon is a straight shooter. I think that she understands the law. She understands the way in which the law is supposed to be applied. And she understands the processes that prosecutors and lawyers must adhere to if the process itself is to be equal, if the process itself is to be adjudicated just as the same for Donald Trump as it would for any other defendant that people were fighting to keep out of prison. So, with Jack Smith admitting that the FBI had messed up these boxes, Jack Smith relating that to Eileen Cannon after previously stating that nothing like that had happened, it means that Eileen Cannon is now going to be postponing this case. Now, that date that was coming up on May 9th, we don't know what's going to happen until that point. I mean, it's possible she could come back and she could, you know, just completely excoriate Jack Smith and, you know, give him a piece of her mind. And she might actually end the case altogether. I mean, she could dismiss it with prejudice at this point because there's no way for the DOJ or the FBI to bring this case in its original form because the evidence has already been spoiled. The chain of custody cannot be verified, and the actual condition of those documents at the time that they were allegedly found in Trump's Mar-a-Lago residence can't be verified. So in my opinion, there is no case that can be brought. So I'm hoping to see that Eileen Cannon is going to do just that. I think she's probably weighing her options on exactly what that next move should be. But as far as I can see, there is no recovery for the prosecution and for the DOJ at this point. Now, to complicate things, Jim Jordan is launching a yet another investigation, this time again into Jack Smith and that specific admission that he and the FBI spoliated that evidence. So this is now going to be done through Jim Jordan's committee. This also could lead to some really important developments in this case. I mean, it could lead to charges against Jack Smith. Certainly, it could lead to some sort of reforms that Congress imposes upon the Department of Justice. There's a lot of different ways it can go. But at this point, I'm all for Jim Jordan and the committee to perhaps just stop this prosecution dead in its tracks. In a letter that was sent to Jeffrey Ragsdale, who is the counsel of the Department of Justice's Office of Professional Responsibility, Jim Jordan had this to say. This acknowledgement by Jack Smith presents grave concerns about the department's commitment to impartial justice and whether the special counsel's office misled a federal court. Arguably, they did. And whether the special counsel's office strenuously upheld the highest professional standards of the Department of Justice. That they did not. Now, Jordan is demanding that the OPR investigate Jack Smith. Also want to investigate Jay Bratt, who's a senior member of Smith's team, and then any other attorneys that are involved. And it's all based upon the ethical lapses that have been on full display during this so-called prosecution. They're demanding a series of pieces of evidence for their own investigation. All of the documents and all the communications referring to or relating to any allegation of ethical impropriety or any OPR investigation concerning the conduct of Jack Smith, also of Jay Bratt, or anybody else working the case. They also want all documents and communications referring to or relating to the manipulation of those documents that were seized from President Trump. You know they must have talked about it. And then they also want all documents and communications referring to or relating to the instructions that, or excuse me, the interactions that Jay Bratt had with Walt Nauta's defense counsel. Jay Bratt is the one who offered the bribe to Walt Nauta's lawyer.
And then, of course, any specific allegations about this attempted bribe that Jay Bratt gave to Walt Mott's attorney. So this is not looking good. As far as I can tell, the case, Jack Smith's classified documents case, is in the shitter at this point. I don't know how they're able to recover from what's happening right now. And again, because the evidence is already spoiled, there is no way for them to be able to bring this case and have any sort of any sort of promise of fair and equal application of the law. President Trump has never been afforded that. And I think that the only one who can at this point resolve that in a way that would be satisfactory, it's going to be Eileen Cannon. All right, you guys, we'll go ahead and end it right there. So I want to say thank you very much for hanging out with us. Let me say thank you to Timberjet, who says we need to consider the push to nuke our idiots in charge. Ginger 45, thank you for the can. Zoso, Zoso, I was filming a show earlier and I was drinking from your coffee mug, man. He says, still the best newsman out there. Good to hang with you, man. It's so good to see you. I know you're always busy doing your own shows now, but if you guys are over there on Pilled and you're not following Zoso, you need to. And then thank you very much to Sean Joe as well. Jim Kyle said President Trump's documents case is postponed indefinitely. You know, it's great watching this. I feel like so many people, when all these cases began, a lot of people were very upset. They were worried. Oh my God, another you know, thing that our president's having to deal with. But President Trump has welcomed every single effort to try to destroy him, and he is cool as a cucumber. For years, President Trump has been calm, cool, and collected. And that's been one of the reasons why it's been so easy for me to have my faith, to walk in the light, and know that at the end of the day, we are going to destroy the deep state, and President Trump will return. And when I die, I'm going home. So I got nothing to worry about. You shouldn't have anything to worry about either. So hug your family, hug your kids, tell your pets you love them, and look at your neighbor and tell them that they're not your enemy. We have a common enemy, and it is the deep state criminal apparatus. Thank you very much to everybody for hanging out with us today, and thank you for putting up with my froggy voice. Thank you to 12 Fruits, who says, feel better. I will, and I hope you do too. I will be back tomorrow, and I'm just not going to talk for the rest of the day or tomorrow. So I love you. Peace. Good luck. God bless.